Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Our special guest today is Dr. Daniel Amen. Dr. Amen is a physician, adult and child psychiatrist, and founder of the Amen Clinics, which has the world's largest database of brain scans collected from over 155 countries. Dr. Amen is one of the most influential experts on brain health in the world. He founded BrainMD and Amen University and has successfully trained many medical and mental health professionals on his methods. Dr. Amen has produced and distributed 17 national television shows. He's been featured on PBS, Men's Health, Time, and Dr. Phil. He also has a digital series, Scan My Brain, which has received millions of views. Dr. Amen is also known for his latest book, Change Your Brain Every Day, Simple Daily Practices to Strengthen Your Mind, Memory, Moods, Focus, Energy, Habits, and Relationships. He's a 12-time New York Times bestselling author. Dr. Amen, what a delight to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Tim, so great to see you.
Hey, as we get started, Dr. Amen, you look back over the last couple of years, and I think everybody would agree, it's been a pretty tough go. Go back to COVID with the lockdowns, the loss, the loneliness, and then just the insanity that's happened since then. And people are pretty wild. It was only intuitive that we would see a spike in mental health issues, depression, stress, anxiety, even suicidality, especially among our kids. Dr. Amen, what are you seeing? What are your thoughts about what's happened, and where do you think we're at?
It's awful what's happening. There are historic levels of anxiety, depression, suicidal behavior in young people. Almost everywhere you look, there are negative forces on their brains and their minds, from social media, which increases a toxic level of self-absorption, to low-quality food, to the toxic products we put on kids' bodies. We're just not thinking. And for a long time now, I've been trying to get rid of the term mental illness and replace it with brain health, because when you do that, you realize, oh, my brain is an organ like my heart's an organ, so I need to feed it right. And I need to sleep so it cleans and washes it. I need to think right in healthy ways. But you know, I'm friends with Paul Simon, who I dearly love, and his song, Kodachrome, keeps running around in my mind. It starts off with, when I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. It's, you know, we know that we're in the middle of a mental health crisis. Everybody knows it. But yet, you know, it's more medication without ever teaching people to love and care for their brains. And that's where I think the conversation needs to go if we're ever going to make a big dent in ending mental illness.
You know, I think it was a few years back, Time magazine came out with a lead article saying, get ready for the era of the brain. You certainly are a champion in that lane. You began using some brain scan technique or technology, and off you were sort of to the races. Dr. Amen, take us back. What was going on in your mind, and what have you learned about our brains? I mean, you touched on it when you began talking about brain health a few moments ago.
You know, I just realized I don't have your brain. I need to.
I knew you were going to go there.
It was so for me, The short, very short story is I was an infantry medic where my love of medicine was born. But about a year into it, I realized I didn't like being shot at. And I got retrained as an X-ray technician and developed a passion for medical imaging. Our professors used to say, how do you know unless you look? And I loved that. And then I got out of the Army, went to medical school. And when I'm a second year medical student, someone I love tries to kill herself. And I take her to see a wonderful psychiatrist. And I came to realize if he helps her, it won't just help her. It'll help her children. It'll help her grandchildren. That this is a generational profession. And I fell in love with psychiatry, and I've loved it every day for the last 45 years, every day. But I fell in love with the only medical specialty that never looks at the organ it treats. And given my X-ray training, I'm like, well, we should look. How do you know unless you look? You know, obviously the brain is our organ, right? It's not just the organ of seizures and headaches and strokes. It's the organ of schizophrenia. It's the organ of depression. It's the organ of chronic pain. It's the organ of everything you feel and how you behave, how you think. And so I'm agitating. I do that. You know that. For my profession to start looking at the brain. And then in 1991, so I'm a psychiatrist for nearly a decade. I went to a lecture on brain SPECT imaging, and literally it changed every single thing in my life. I scanned my own brain. It wasn't as healthy as I wanted it to be because I played football in high school. And I had bad habits, like I wasn't sleeping and I was chronically stressed. And I fell in love with my brain. And I realized that's the first step to ending mental illness. You have to care about it, but nobody cares about their brain. Why? You can't see it. You can see the wrinkles in your skin or the fat around your belly, and you can do something when you're unhappy with it. But so I developed a term I call brain envy. Freud was wrong. Penis envy is not the cause of anybody's problem. I've not seen it once in 45 years. You probably haven't either. It's brain envy. Got to care. And then brain health becomes really three simple things. Care, brain envy. Avoid things that hurt it. Know the list. Marijuana is not innocuous. Stop lying to people. Alcohol is not a health food. And now we're in the middle of this magic mushroom craze. It's going to backfire on us because it's not healthy for your brain. So care, stop doing things that hurt it, know the list, do things that help it, like sleep and exercise and supplementation and not believing every stupid thing you think. And when you take the crisis in mental health and switch it over to we're hurting our brains, we can do better. What I've seen, I have 11 clinics now, when we take a brain health approach, people's moods get better. They become more relaxed. They focus better. This is the way out. I'm absolutely convinced. And we've now seen 250,000 scans on people from 155 countries. The word is out that we should love our brains. Now, if you disrupt a specialty, you're going to be attacked. And like I helped Bella Hadid, the, you know, beautiful model, stop drinking. And she produced a new non-alcoholic beverage called Kenuforks, and I get no money from this. And I was at the launch, and a magazine picked it up, and they talked about controversial psychiatrists, and they just said every hateful thing you can think of about me. And I'm like, wait a minute, I helped her stop drinking. She's doing good in the world. Why are you picking on me?
Dr. Amon, I want to ask you, what kind of research is around this SPECT scanning, and what have you seen, and what stands out the most to you?
You know, I've published 80 studies on SPECT, but if you go to PubMed today and just type in brain SPECT, S-P-E-C-T, you'll get 15,000 scientific abstracts. This is clearly, you know, not my invention. I do a show on YouTube and Instagram called Scan My Brain. And this week I saw Derek Huff, public knowledge. He had always sort of thought he had ADD. He had a really bad fall when he was 6. And now he's 38. I can still see evidence of the trauma in his brain. Undiagnosed brain injuries are a major cause of depression, of anxiety disorders, alcohol and drug abuse, suicide, obesity. If you hurt the front part of your brain, sort of like your supervisor goes on vacation, and you're much more likely to make bad decisions. So that was one of the big early lessons. And what I learned is you can't ask people if they've had a brain injury once. You literally have to ask them 10 times because they forget. Like, have you ever had a brain injury? And the first time I saw it on the scan and I asked the guy and he said, no. And I'm like, are you sure? Have you ever fallen out of a tree, fell off a fence, dove into a shallow pool, been in a car accident, had a concussion playing sports? No, 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 no. Oh, Dr. Amon, I'm so sorry, I lied to you. When I was 7, I fell out of a second story window. Do you think that counts? Like, maybe. You just have to look at the brain to realize drinkers have brains that are older than they are, and non-drinkers have brains that are younger than they are. And then the whole issue with marijuana, I've been there, you know, since 1991 going, it makes your brain look toxic. And then I published a study on 1,000 marijuana users. Every area of their brain was lower in blood flow. And that's a bad thing. I think it's the world's largest imaging study on 62,454 scans on how the brain ages. And it's just fascinating. Little kids have really busy brains. You know, when you get to be 70 and older, your brain starts to really decrease in activity or blood flow. And then we went and looked at what accelerates aging. And schizophrenia was the worst by far. If you get that diagnosis, your brain does not look healthy. The second worst, and it was a surprise for me because I thought it would be alcohol, it was marijuana. Clearly looked older than you were. And alcohol wasn't good, nicotine wasn't good, but you know, our young people are growing up with the idea that alcohol is a health food and marijuana is innocuous. And it's just a lie.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host here with my son, Zach Clinton. Our special guest, Dr. Daniel Amon. We're talking about brain health. And, you know, Dr. Amon, this became pretty clear to me in my graduate studies as I went back and reflected on my sister Candace, who suffered a TBI, a traumatic brain injury, as a result of a car accident. And I helped take care of her and began to go on that journey. And so as a part of a lot of my studies, I went back in and thought, boy, oh boy, I could see the radical impact, the change in her, you know, as a teenage girl and for the rest of her life. And I thought, the brain is, wow. We've got to understand this a whole lot more. I wanted to ask you, Dr. Amon, maybe kind of fun here, as you've done the scanning, have you seen much of a difference, say, between male and female brains, I guess? Have you looked at a comparison between the two?
Well, actually, my second largest study was a gender study. We looked at the differences between male and female brains in 46,000 scans. And it's almost like we're not the same species. The female brain is so much busier, especially in the prefrontal cortex, the anterior cingulate gyrus, which notices when there's a problem, the limbic or emotional brain, and guys have more activity in the visual cortex, especially narrow visual cortex, where women have better peripheral vision, and the cerebellum. So we may be better at throwing a football, but the female brain, actually, they make great leaders because they have better forethought. And, you know, the one statistic that shows this is who goes to jail. Males, 14 times more than females. And so guys tend to have sleepier frontal lobes than females. Yeah, it's really interesting. But it's also why women have a higher incidence of depression. And they have greater access to their right hemisphere, which is intuition, but it's also noticing a problem. And one statistic that just shocks me is if a couple's gonna file for divorce, 75% of the time, it's a female who's filing.
Wow. Dr. Amen, when you look at the brain, a lot of people think, well, I can't even imagine what my scan would look like. I know you'd love to scan my brain. There's a word in our field called neuroplasticity. It's a good word. Dr. Amen, can you talk to us about it? And you shared some of the things we shouldn't be doing. Can you talk to us about some of the things we should be doing and locked in on to help us with this whole brain health thing and obviously impact our overall mental health?
So neuroplasticity, you know, we tend to only talk about it in a good way, but it's actually a double-edged sword, is it can go both ways. When you learn a language or you learn a new musical instrument or a new hobby, your brain is making new connections. And the more you do it, the more connected your brain becomes. And new learning is just part of preventing Alzheimer's disease. Say your habit after dinner is to have a drink. And you do that for more than 2 or 3 weeks. Your brain's now learned, after dinner, we have a drink. And the neuroplasticity is going in the wrong direction. And so you want to be very careful what you allow your brain to do. I often say the brain is lazy. It's always conserving energy. And, you know, once it's like, okay, it's after dinner, I have a drink. Well, that's actually going to be very hard to break unless you become very intentional. So, for example, when you go to a restaurant, what's the first thing they do? They offer you alcohol and free bread. So alcohol, where they have a huge margin, free bread. Why? Both of them drop your frontal lobes. But the first time you go, no, I don't want to drink, and take away the bread, that's going to be hard because it's like a new skill you're doing or a new habit. But after you do that 20 times, it's like so easy because you've taught your brain how to behave. I don't know if you know, I have a new book coming in March called Raising Mentally Strong Kids. And I'm very excited about it. I wrote it with Charles Fay, who's the president of the Love and Logic Institute. And I think the most important thing to raising mentally strong kids is you learning to be mentally strong yourself, because you really can't give it away if you don't live it. And being mentally strong means you love your brain and you make decisions not based on your internal four-year-old, I want what I want when I want it, but with your supervising adult that's like, no, I love my brain. Like whenever you go to eat something, do you love it? I love everything I eat, but does it love you back, right? That's an adult, mature relationship with food.
Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Dr. Amen, I know you're a big proponent of getting through or battling through stinking thinking, these negative thoughts that often take over our lives, and by the way, impact our brain and more. Dr. Amen, talk to us about that and kind of bring us home. We're fighting time here. We're down to just a few minutes, but how can we every day begin to win this battle for the brain?
When you wake up in the morning, go, today is going to be a great day. Focus on that so you're directing your thoughts. And then whenever you feel sad, mad, nervous, or out of control, write down what you're thinking. And then just ask yourself, is it true? And does it serve me to have this thought? We were never taught to discipline our minds, but you know, our brain has all sorts of craziness that goes on in it. Jerry Seinfeld once said, the brain is a sneaky organ. But I believe you can discipline your thoughts to eliminate, I call them ants, behind me I have an anteater, automatic negative thoughts. You need an anteater sort of patrolling the streets of your mind. But my favorite exercise is when you go to bed at night, say a prayer, it's what I do, and then I go on a treasure hunt. What went well today? I start at the beginning of the day. Our conversation is going to show up tonight. And hour by hour, what did I like about the day? And I look for the micro moments, right? You and I have plenty of sort of cool moments that happen to us, but I'm looking for the little stuff, whether it's holding my wife's hand, getting eye contact with one of my kids, having a great interaction with one of my staff or patients. I put myself to bed every night directing my thoughts. And about 3.5 years ago, my dad died, and it was an awful day. But because I'd been doing this for years, I thought of all the beautiful parts of that day. And it doesn't mean I didn't grieve. I did, still do. But learning to manage your mind helps you not just in the good times, but also in the bad.
Dr. Amen, if people want to learn more about the Amen Clinics, you, no doubt there's probably many listening right now. Maybe they know someone who's struggling with some brain issues, maybe experienced a traumatic brain injury like my sister Candace did when she was 14 years old. Dr. Amen, where can they go?
Amen, like the last word in a prayer, clinics.com. AmenClinics.com. They can also follow me on TikTok or Instagram, YouTube. We have a lot of free information for people. We also have a very fun, about 7 million people have taken this, our brain health assessment to learn about your brain. It's free, brainhealthassessment.com.
Dr. Amen, it's been a delight. You and I have had so many fun conversations together. One of these days, we're going to get maybe Tim over there on that table and get a little scan done or something.
I'm looking forward to it. And it's only good news. You know, that's what I tell people. It's like, no, I don't want to know. It's like, no, you want to know because you have what you have. And if it's great, we celebrate. And you don't want a normal aging brain, right? You want an optimal brain. So it's only good news.
Yeah. Dr. Daniel Amen, what a delightful conversation. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ehlers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.